Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for teen.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Gophers with a big win, a great second half. Let's give credit where credit is due. Minnesota played an excellent second half and beat the Huskers on Friday night. And P.J. Fleck has just owned Nebraska in his tenure as a head coach at the University of Minnesota. It's just really extraordinary, his record against Nebraska, and he adds to the Husker misery. I hope they still spent money in town. I hope all those Husker fans, went to the restaurants and did all sorts of shopping and that sort of thing. 24-6 Gophers win it, and they go to 5-2 overall, 3-1 in the Big Ten with that victory, and the Golden Gophers, a really nice win, and now they're on the road at Iowa. They host Michigan State. On the road at Oregon, at Northwestern, and then home to Wisconsin to close it out. So, at Iowa, tough. Home to Michigan State, doable. At Oregon, tough. At Northwestern, that'll be tough. And then home to Wisconsin in this Badger team. The thing I'm getting a kick out of, and this is one of the feature games this afternoon, Ohio State at Wisconsin, is they're down 27 rip at home early in the fourth quarter, and they're celebrating a 20-yard gain on the sideline like they won a bowl game, like they won the Rose Bowl. It's bizarre. I know you're trying to keep enthusiasm up, but bizarre indeed. By the way, we'll have another look at the regional scoreboard. Very quiet day in the Northern Sun. We'll just tell you right now that in the Northern Sun, one game, and it is a blowout in Aberdeen. Northern State all over Southwest Minnesota State, 34-9. Looks like it'll be another long year for the Mustangs. Northern State, they are a force to be reckoned with. They beat UMD a week ago, so they are a very good football team and certainly will be heard from. And then, of course, Bethel blew out St. Olaf in the MIAC today. Bethel wins at 64-10 today in Arden Hills. St. John stays a game back, winning at Concordia 41-6. We'll have a rundown of all those scores, and we'll take a deeper look at some of those games, including Carlton's big win today in Northfield over Hamlin, 63-14. The Knights playing very well. We'll look at the MIAC standings and the games next week in conference play. But first, we want to get another update on all the Big Ten scores, the top 25, the Missouri Valley, and once again, let's bring in Jonathan Lowe.
Thank you very much, Steve. It's a gorgeous day today. Wouldn't you agree? It's just a wonderful atmosphere today.
Oh, it's a great fall day.
Yes, and that just gives you the spirit, gives you the feeling that you need to throw the pigskin around the front yard, you know, go tussle in the leaves, you know, tumble into the leaves and go dive into the leaf pile for a touchdown. That's what gives you the feeling. Don't give me that look, Lindsey Brown. Don't give me that
tussle.
Look. Don't, okay, wrong word.
Why I oughta.
Okay, all right. Anyway, let's go ahead and get to it because it's another wonderful, beautiful, lovely, gorgeous Saturday in the fall, y'all. College football here, there, and everywhere. And we get it going. We get it rolling in the Big Ten. It is just about over. 90 seconds to go in Evanston, and Northwestern will get to 5-2 on the season. They lead Purdue 19-0. Purdue looks like they're going to fall to 2-5. And now we head to Camp Randall. It is not pretty in the capital of Wisconsin right now. It's not pretty. Number one Ohio State on top of Wisconsin, 27-0. And Steve just mentioned it. There was a big gain, a big rush, 20-yard rush for a first down. And all the guys on the Wisconsin sideline were going nuts.
Yeah,
for that gain, you're down 27-0. You're 2-4 on the season. When you're celebrating that type of play, that means nothing right is happening. Nothing good is going your way if you're a Bucky Badger. So about 14 minutes to play, fourth quarter. Wisconsin trying to make a humongous comeback. It'll be a miraculous comeback at this point. 27-0 Buckeyes looking to get to 7-0. Number three, Indiana. They're at home. They've pulled away a little bit more late in the third quarter over Michigan State. 35-10 the score there. Indiana is in control to get to 7-0 on the season. Final from early today, only one game complete so far. That's Michigan winning at the Big House over Washington 24-7. Coming up in just about 20 minutes or so, number eight, Oregon, will try to rebound from that loss to Indiana last week. They go all the way across the country to Piscataway to take on Rutgers. In about 45 to 50 minutes, it'll be Maryland going all the way across country the other way to the Rose Bowl to take on UCLA. Penn State, new interim head coach, James Franklin, out of there. They have the unenviable task of going to Iowa City and facing the Hawkeyes. The Hawkeyes trying to get to 5-2 on the season. The Nittany Lions trying to break their three-game losing streak. And then in about an hour 15 from South Bend, number 20 USC, their annual battle against number 13 Notre Dame should be a good one tonight in South Bend, just outside of Chicago. Last night over at Huntington Bank Stadium, hey, the Golden Gophers, man. Steve went down the rest of the schedule. You would think there's at least a couple games in there. They should be bowl eligible by the time they play Wisconsin at the end of the season. And we'll see what happens as we go later on. But they are feeling good today because they got their win out of the way last night, winning over Nebraska, number 25 Nebraska, 24-6. And now the Gophers are 5-2 on the season. To the top 25 scoreboard we go. We head to Athens, between the hedges, number 5 Ole Miss, trying to stay undefeated and topple number 9 Georgia. 35-26, Rebels lead the Bulldogs. Georgia in the red zone as we basically get into the fourth quarter. It's now at the end of the third quarter with Georgia trailing by two possessions. Number 22, Memphis, is in a bit of trouble. They're on the road at UAB, trailing 24-14. The Tigers trying to get to 7-0 on the season and stay near the front of the pack for that group of five bid into the college football playoff. Number 7, Texas Tech. They're just underway in the third quarter in Tempe. They trail Arizona State 9-7. The Raiders, Red Raiders, are 6-0 on the season, trying to get to 7-0 and stay atop the Big 12 standings alongside BYU. We'll get to BYU in a moment. Number 12, Georgia Tech, earlier today. Now we get to the finals from earlier today. The Ramblin' Wreck get to 7-0. They defeat Duke 27-18 in Durham, and now Georgia Tech is the leader in the clubhouse to get to the ACC championship game. Number 17, Vanderbilt. They defeat number 10, LSU, 31-24. Number 14, Oklahoma, heads to South Carolina, defeats the Gamecocks 26-7. Oklahoma rebounds from that loss last week at the Cotton Bowl to Texas and gets a 6-1 on the season. It is in the early portion of the second quarter, weather-delayed start in Fayetteville. Number 4, Texas A&M, they're up 14-3 at Arkansas. Coming up later this evening, number 18, Virginia, they will take on Washington State. Number 21, Texas, they go on the road to Kentucky. Number 19, South Florida, welcomes fellow Southern Floridian school, Florida Atlantic, into Raymond James Stadium. Number 6, Alabama. Number 11, Tennessee in Tuscaloosa. That's right. It is the third Saturday in October, y'all. Number 16, Missouri. They'll be on the road at Auburn. Number 24, Cincinnati gets to go to Oklahoma State. Now we get back to BYU. Number 15, BYU will be in Provo hosting their bitter bitter, close rival, number 23 Utah. The Holy War is back, folks. That is tonight, 7 o'clock kickoff. That should be a doozy of a game as we expect the Utes and the Cougars to fight it out to the bitter end. Last night, the shocker of the weekend so far, number 2 Miami loses at home to Louisville 24-21, and now the Hurricanes not only lose their top standing, not only lose the top path to get to the ACC title game, they're going to be behind Louisville in the pecking order because Louisville is now 5-1 as well, and I believe they are undefeated in conference play. So now you've got some things to work out if you're Miami, because now you've got to really work your way and get a little bit of help to get to the ACC title game. Let's head to FCS. All of the games across FCS this week, the Missouri Valley games, I should say, are final. North Dakota State, they win in Terre Haute over Indiana State 38-7. South Dakota wins at the Unidome over Northern Iowa 17-14. North Dakota goes on the road, wins in Carbondale against Southern Illinois 38-19. South Dakota State, they get to 7-0 and keep Murray State winless 35-14. The Jackrabbits win in Kentucky. That sets up next week's critical, humongous showdown, the marker battle in effect. North Dakota State at South Dakota State. The Bison are number 1 in FCS. The Jackrabbits are number 2 in FCS. They met in the playoffs the last handful of years with varying results. It should be a huge showdown next Saturday night in Brookings. The Tommies today, they win at home at O'Shaughnessy over Valparaiso 55-17, the final there. Tommies now at 4-3, looking up as they get through the Pioneer League schedule. And one thing we forgot to mention at the outset, the first scoreboard of the show, the Bill Belichick watch. That's right.
You may
know it. You may like it. You may hate it. You may love it. Who knows what you think of it? But it's happening, folks. It is a thing. And last night, late night, West Coast, North Carolina traveled all the way across the country to Berkeley to take on Cal. Cal was up 21-18 late in the fourth quarter. I think about 3:45 left in the fourth quarter. North Carolina gets a pass to the receiver going into the end zone. He is a step from the end zone, gets the ball punched out of his hands as he's going into the end zone. North Carolina loses 21-18. North Carolina is 2-4. Bill Belichick watch is strong, folks.
Yeah, I think they have so much money tied up, probably not going to let him go now, but it has not been good. And then there's all the other stuff going on off the field with Belichick. It's just such a weird vibe, if you will.
I believe Lindsey Brown can chime in with something that was broken, that's being broken over the last 24 hours regarding that whole program.
Yeah, the hot rumor mill says, and this, again, check your sources and check me if I'm wrong. Apparently there was a power struggle between one Jordan Hudson, the girlfriend of Bill Belichick and orchestrator of one of the worst run websites I've ever seen, and Mike Lombardi, who was basically a package deal in terms of kind of a manager, a GM, all these different kind of titles that are in college football now. Apparently the struggle was had, and Lombardi ended up in Saudi Arabia with his hands open looking for some money, and we all know where Jordan is.
It is such a bizarre situation.
And by the way, I want to update that. It has been confirmed by the school that Mike Lombardi went to Saudi Arabia to
raise money.
Raise money through their public investment fund, who, by the way, funds LIV Golf.
Among other things.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. He did
Formula
make the trip.
One.
He did, yes, Formula One, Newcastle United in the Premier
All
League.
All the big comedians were there last week doing a show.
Riyadh Comedy Festival. He was confirmed to have been there 2 weeks before the season began, and it was at the invitation of the Saudis. They did not make a deal, but it was characterized as an exploratory fundraising trip. But this was confirmed through the school.
So we're at the Saudi money in college football phase.
Private equity.
Man. 5:20, we'll come back. I do want to throw out a couple of numbers from that Tommy's game. St. Thomas, a big win, as Jonathan mentioned, in the Pioneer League. Amari Powell, 13-22, 155 yards, 3 touchdowns passing, no picks in the game. Ryan Jackson got some action, 10-13, 75 yards. Tommy's managed 143 yards on the ground, but no one really dominated on the ground. And then Quentin Cobb-Butler, 4 receptions, 81 yards and a touchdown. Jashawn Todd, 3 catches, 71 yards and a touchdown. But once again, Tommy's pile up 340 yards through the air. And you had 5 different receivers have 40-plus yards receiving in that game for the St. Thomas win. When we come back, you've got Bethel unbeaten in the MIAC, but Carlton is too. They had a big win today. We'll take a look at that Carlton Knights win today and then get an update on the MIAC schedule and check the lone game in the Northern Sun. We'll do that all in a moment here on College Football Final on News Talk, 830-WCCO.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up on 9 to go on the game in Madison, Buckeyes lead the Badgers 27-0 in Camp Randall. Luke Fickell on the hot seat. Question is this the end of the line? A lot of empty seats at Camp Randall today with number one Ohio State in town. And didn't look like the weather was bad at all in Madison. It's a great town. Whether you're a Wisconsin hater or not, Madison is a great town. Lindsay, you and I talked about it earlier in the day. I mean, it is cool. There's no doubt about it.
It's part of the Minnesota indoctrination to hate everything Wisconsin and just assume there's nothing there. All there is Green Bay and all those fans. They just get drunk. The whole state gets drunk. Madison
Lambeau
is
really
awesome.
Cool, too.
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah, so I visited there, what was it, last time I was there? This spring, and every time I go there, because I have family that lives there, I just love it more and more. And any place that pumps out Culver's and Quick Trip as their main exports is going to be a very high ranking in my book.
Yeah, and I've said this to people, you know, you can hate on the Green Bay Packers or the Wisconsin Badgers. Madison's a great town, and I think the game day experience at Lambeau is one of the best I've ever seen. I was there for a Viking-Packer game number of years ago, and it was outstanding.
Was it a winter game?
No, it wasn't particularly cold.
Okay, I didn't know if you had an elemental challenge.
Earlier season game. I would say it was in the first couple of months of the season. I can't remember if it was later in September or early October. But the weather was not a big deal. And it was really cool.
So everybody's got to go.
Let's not hate on Wisconsin. But my dad's dad, he was born in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. So I do have Scotty blood in me. So
you're not unbiased, Steve.
Yeah, maybe that's the case. Even though I was born in St. Paul, I don't know how that changes things. But nevertheless, not a good day at Camp Randall today. Let's jump back to the MIAC and Carlton having a really good year. The Knights beat Hamlin today. They're 5-1 overall, 5-0 in conference play. And Carlton was up 42-7 at the half. They cruised to the 63-14 victory today in the MIAC. And Carlton, Jack Curtis, 29-39, 401 yards, 6 touchdowns today. Tyler Mastronardi, 5 catches, 76 yards on the ground, and then receiving. Rye Storrs, 10 catches, 140 yards, 2 touchdowns. Cooper Pollard for the Knights, 4 catches, 94 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And Carlton rolls today, and they're atop the conference standings at 5-0 with Bethel. And let's give you a quick rundown of the scores in the MIAC today. Bethel beats St. Olaf 64-10. St. John's wins at Concordia 41-6. We mentioned Carlton, they roll over Hamlin. Gustavus beats St. Scholastica in St. Peter 45-6. And Augsburg will win on the road at McAllister. So let's check the standings at the moment. Bethel and Carlton atop at 5-0. St. John's at 4-1. Augsburg and Concordia next at 3-2. Now the schedule as we go into next week. It'll be Concordia at Augsburg for a noon game. Gustavus at Hamlin. McAllister at Bethel. That could be a long day for the Scots. Carlton at St. John's next Saturday at 1. Huge game for the Knights and the Johnnies. And then, of course, St. Scholastica will be on the road in Northfield and play St. Olaf. So that is the schedule next Saturday in the MIAC. Speaking of Division III, we go east of the St. Croix today. Here are the finals again. From Friday, Whitewater beats Stout 34-2 in Whitewater. And then today, River Falls, a big winner on the road at Stevens Point, 52-7. River Falls having a fine year. La Crosse on the road at Platteville, and Platteville wins at 38-21. And the other tilt today, it was Oshkosh beating visiting Eau Claire 28-21. Next week in the WIAC, River Falls at Eau Claire. Stevens Point travels to Stout. Platteville at Whitewater and Oshkosh at La Crosse. Two big games there. And by the way, Ohio State has extended their lead to 33-0 over the Badgers with 5:31 to go in the game at Camp Randall. UMAC finals. Martin Luther beat Greenville 41-39. That was in New Ulm. In St. Bonifacius, it was Crown over Westminster 19-6. And in Morris, Northwestern, a winner there 21-3. And you're up to date on the scores around the area. Quick break. We'll come back. We'll have another look. Big Ten, top 25. With Jonathan Lowe, then Andy Greeter will talk about a big Golden Gopher football win Friday night at Huntington Bank Stadium and preview the Loons tilt at the LA Galaxy tonight. It's all on the way here on News Talk, 830-WCCO.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
All right, it is college football final. We're going to bring back Jonathan Lowe one more time. Quick look. Big Ten, top 25 for sure. Tommy's rolled to a big victory today at home. An abbreviated schedule in the Northern Sun. Let's check that. It was blowout city in Aberdeen, and it is Northern State leading Southwest Minnesota State 41-16. That is the only game in the Northern Sun. Now, let's jump back to the MIAC today. And it was Augsburg at McAllister today. Augies win at 32-21. And here is Matt McLagan with the game report.
Exciting game at McAllister Stadium today, as Augsburg used 26 second-half points to beat McAllister 32-21. The Scots opened with touchdown runs by Jack Scully and Vasco Sierra to lead 14-0 midway through the second quarter. Just before halftime, Jeremiah Moore hit Tyrone Wilson on a halfback pass for an 8-yard touchdown that made the halftime score 14-6. On McAllister's first possession of the second half, Augsburg's R.J. Chakolis blocked a punt and returned it 23 yards for a touchdown to make it a one-point game 14-13. Later in the third quarter, Scully connected with receiver Paxton Boyd on a 49-yard touchdown pass to extend the Scots' lead to 21-13 at the end of the third quarter. But in the fourth quarter, it was the Tyrone Wilson show, as Caden Rogkiewicz threw a pair of touchdown passes to the speedy senior receiver that swung momentum to the Augies. On the second play of the quarter, Rogkiewicz threw a pass up the middle to Wilson for a 56-yard score. Then 3 minutes later, the two connected for a 51-yard touchdown pass to give Augsburg its first lead of the game, 26-21. McAllister drove to the Augies' 28-yard line looking for a go-ahead score, but the drive stalled, and Augsburg went down the field and tallied a late touchdown to put the game out of reach, 32-21. Wilson caught 9 passes for 181 yards, including 123 yards after catch and 3 touchdowns. Rogkiewicz threw for 260 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 1 interception. For McAllister, Scully threw for 167 yards, with Boyd catching 5 passes for 77 yards and a touchdown. McAllister heads to Bethel next week, with Augsburg hosting Concordia.
All right, very good. Thanks a lot, Matt. Once again, Augsburg beat McAllister 32-21. Let's get a game report on Carleton's win over Hamlin. Tyler Vandersall, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. On homecoming Saturday in Northfield, Carleton College defeated Hamlin by a score of 63-14. The Knights were led by Jack Curtis, who threw for 6 touchdowns and was 29 for 39 with 401 yards through the air. Rye Storrs, tight end, had 10 receptions for 140 yards and 2 touchdowns of his own. The Knights put up 14 points in the first quarter on a 12-yard pass from Curtis to Rye Storrs and a 41-yard connection from Curtis to Cooper Pollard. Hamlin then scored early in the second quarter on a 7-yard pass from Jacob Akey to Dawson Schaefer, making the score 14-7 in favor of the Knights. The Carlton offense answered by scoring touchdowns in 6 of its next 7 possessions. Tight end Nick Toole found the end zone twice on short yardage rushing plays for the Knights, and Curtis again connected with Storrs and Pollard again, as well as passing touchdowns to Jaden Coleman and James Alexander. Late in the third quarter, Hamlin quarterback Akey scored from 1 yard out for the Pipers. The Knights' final score came on a 3-yard pass from Tyler Mastronardi to Lucas Foss, a first-year player from Hastings. Mastronardi led the Knights in rushing with 76 yards, and Hamlin was led by Will Priest, a running back out of Rosemount, with 79 yards on 12 carries.
All right, Tyler, outstanding work. Thanks.
I think he's gone.
Yeah. He did an outstanding job.
He killed it and he left.
Yeah. A mic drop.
Yeah. See you later.
And Jonathan Lowell's going to do a mic drop. He's going to jump in, do the Big Ten, the top 25, hit all the scores, and then he's out the door. He is back tomorrow here on News Talk 830 WCCO, taking care of all the afternoon stuff, getting the outdoor show on with Rob Dreisline. All right, Jonathan, one more time. Didn't look good for Bucky Badger today in Madison.
No, Bucky Badger is suffering a boo-boo big
Ouch.
Time. That's alliteration, folks. Alliteration. Look it up if for those non-English majors out there. Anyway, let's go ahead and get it going, get it rolling. Well, this Saturday in the fall, y'all, college football here, there, and everywhere, and we start it rolling in the Big Ten, and we start in Madison where it is all over but the crying on State Street. It's going to probably be busy in commiseration tonight. Wisconsin looks like they're going to get shut out. They may get some points at the end. They're on the Ohio State 23 with about 2 minutes to go. But number one Ohio State has asserted their dominance today. 34-0, the Buckeyes will get to 7-0 on the season. In Bloomington, about 5:50 to go in the fourth quarter. Number three, Indiana continues to hold a 35-10 lead over Michigan State. And Indiana is looking to go to 6-0 on the season. Now a couple of finals from earlier in the day. At the Big House, Michigan defeats Washington 24-7. In Evanston, Northwestern shuts out Purdue. Northwestern 5-2, folks. Sneaky good. Watch out. 19-0 the final today. Coming up, it's actually just kicking off. If it hasn't just kicked off, it's about to. Number 8, Oregon in Piscataway to take on Rutgers. In about 20 minutes or so at the Rose Bowl, Maryland will take on UCLA. Also in about 20 minutes, it'll be Iowa hosting Penn State. And then about a little under an hour from now, it'll be number 13, Notre Dame, taking on number 20, USC in South Bend. Last night, the college football world, as far as the Big Ten was concerned, was focused on Huntington Bank Stadium, just down the street here. Nebraska, number 25, Nebraska, came into town looking to keep their momentum rolling and get to 6-1 on the season. No, 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 said Goldie Gopher. 24-6, Minnesota gets to 5-2 on the year, and it's going to be an interesting finish as we go down the stretch. A couple winnable games, a couple games that might be some tough ones, road matchups. So we'll see how the Gophers do over the last 5 games of the season. Let's head to the top 25 scoreboard, and let's head between the hedges where the shootout is on. It is number 9, Georgia, number 5, Ole Miss, about 6.5 to play. Georgia with the ball. They have come back 14 points in the fourth quarter, now leading 40-35. Ole Miss now in trouble of dropping their first game of the year. Also, number 22, Memphis, they are trying to get back in good graces. They're in Birmingham taking on the Blazers of UAB, and right now the Blazers lead in a stunning fashion, 24-17 over the Tigers. Memphis trying to come back, win, get to 7-0 on the season. Arizona State, an instant update from Tempe. The Sun Devils get into the end zone and stretch their lead over Texas Tech. The number 7 Red Raiders now trail 16-7 with 3.5 to go in the third quarter. Number 4 Arkansas now in the red zone trying to score as they are trying to go up. The fourth-ranked Aggies now leading 14-6 over Arkansas, trying to get into the end zone, second and goal from the 1 yard line. Early today, number 12, Georgia Tech. They win at Duke 27-18. Number 17, Vanderbilt gets to 6-1 by taking down number 10 LSU 31-24. Number 14, Oklahoma heads to Columbia, South Carolina, defeats the Gamecocks 26-7. And coming up in just a couple minutes, again, probably just kicked off already, number 18, Virginia, hosting Washington State. At the top of the hour, number 21, Texas, will be in Lexington to take on Kentucky. At the bottom of the next hour, so just under an hour from now, number 19, South Florida, they will host Florida Atlantic. Also at 6:30, number 6, Alabama, in Tuscaloosa, hosting number 11, Tennessee. Number 16, Missouri, will be on the road at Auburn. Number 24, Cincinnati, heads to Oklahoma State. The Holy War back in effect. Number 23, Utah, at number 15, BYU. Last night, number 2, Miami, gets shocked at home by Louisville, the final 24-21. Miami's first loss of the season. Now Louisville 5-1 in the ACC. To the Missouri Valley, North Dakota State, they get to 7-0 on the season. They defeat Indiana State 38-7. South Dakota, they get to 5-3 on the season, win at the Unidome over Northern Iowa 17-14. North Dakota, they get to 5-2 on the season as they defeat Southern Illinois 38-19. And South Dakota State stays undefeated, 7-0 are the Jackrabbits 35-14. They win at Murray State, setting up the big showdown next week. North Dakota State at South Dakota State. We'll keep you abreast of that next Saturday. Pioneer League, it is over at O'Shaughnessy Stadium early this afternoon. St. Thomas got their fourth win on the year. 4-3 now are the Tommies. 55, excuse me. They got to the double nickel, folks. The double nickel, 55, as they defeat Valparaiso 55-17. So overall, other than Wisconsin, pretty good day across the Upper Midwest for a lot of Upper Midwest teams at the Division I and Division II levels.
Yeah, no doubt. And the lone game in the Northern Sun, Northern State, all over Southwest Minnesota State, 41-16. That game still at the half. Northern State, the real deal, and fighting for a postseason berth in the Division II playoffs. Once again, everybody else in the Northern Sun had the day off today. And when we come back, Andy Greeter is going to join us from the Pioneer Press. He covers Golden Gopher football. Really good win over Nebraska. Dominant second half and defense. This Golden Gopher defense was lights out last night. We'll get into that with Andy. And oh, by the way, the Loons wind down the regular season. The LA Galaxy tonight in Southern California. One other thing I wanted to bring up, and it is important to bring it up. Lindsay and I talked about it earlier in the show, and that is Ohtani's night last night for the Dodgers. Six innings, gets the win in the NLCS clinching game, and hit three home runs in the game. Has to be, in any scenario, one of the great individual performances in Major League postseason history. I mean, you can't make it up. Six innings and three home runs on the way to the Dodgers sweeping the Brewers. I was hoping the Brewers would put up a fight, but the Dodgers win it 5-1. But you look at what Ohtani did, it's extraordinary. By the way, in the other American League Championship Series game, the Mariners beat the Blue Jays 6-2. They're up 3-2 in that series. No game scheduled. And then on Sunday, Mariners Blue Jays from Toronto, 7:03. A Sunday night football alternative, folks. The Mariners could head for their first ever World Series with a win over Toronto. All right, we'll take a break. Andy Greeter joins us in a moment. What a win for the Golden Gophers. Kind of a rugged first half, but the Golden Gophers dominate in the second half and beat Nebraska again in the P.J. Fleck era. Terrific win, and now the Gophers in a nice spot. They're 5-2 overall, 3-1 in the Big Ten. And Andy Greeter covers the Golden Gophers for the Pioneer Press online at TwinCities.com. Andy, a lot to talk about, but that defense was lights out.
Pretty remarkable to see, given the fact that they had zero sacks at Ohio State and zero sacks against Purdue, to then turn around and produce a program record 9 sacks against Nebraska was kind of something that I don't think many people were expecting. They did a great job of getting pressure. They did a great job of containing Dylan Raiola in the pocket. And they did a great job in the back end of creating some coverage sacks as well. So it was kind of a complete performance from what is arguably one of the most athletic quarterbacks they're going to face this year.
And then on the other side, Drake Lindsey, the young kid at the quarterback, he looked like an old pro. 16 to 20, 153 yards, a touchdown, no picks. I mean, yeah. you couldn't ask for more out of Lindsey.
Yeah, he did a great job of taking care of the ball, having a high completion percentage, being poised. I think a big thing that I think probably goes unnoticed is the Gophers offense for pretty much the entire year struggled to run the ball. And that's an issue primarily up front with blocking schemes. Yeah. But Drake and some of the coaches talked about how their young redshirt freshman quarterback is being tasked a lot in a pro-style offense, and he has to get him in the right looks. He has to, you know, kind of switch the plays or switch the side that it's run or go hot with different things. They were getting a lot of good holes. They were getting a lot of push, and I think that's a credit to Lindsey as well.
Yeah, Darius Taylor, 24 carries, 148 yards, and a touchdown. Just a complete game from the Golden Gophers. And, Andy, you've seen a lot of Golden Gopher football in the P.J. Fleck era. How do you explain his dominance over the Huskers? You know, they came in ranked, yeah. Feeling pretty good about themselves, and the Gophers were clearly the better team in quarters three and four.
Yeah, I think it's you know, when you look at it overall, he's got seven wins against the Cornhuskers, which I think is the most against any team he's faced in his career. So it's remarkable and one of the best that he's done against anybody. I would say a little bit that it's a little bit of timing, right? I think Scott Faulk wasn't the coach that they thought he was going to be, so PJ took advantage of those years. Matt Rhule was trying to get it up to speed, so he won in those games. So that's why I think this win in particular is remarkable, because they were a touchdown underdog. Like you mentioned, Nebraska was ranked. They had back-to-back comeback wins. You know, they looked like they were going to be, you know, kind of on paper the better team. And, you know, it was a matter of kind of what PJ talked about in the sense of kind of challenging his team to be more fundamental. They were missing tackles by the, you know, dozen or more in the last four games. It was, you know, an anemic performance week in and week out. And they talked about doing a tackling circuit in practice for 25 minutes when they usually do it for about three or four. And the players were looking around and they're like, why are we doing this so long? They knew the reason. They were just shocked that they were being drilled that hard in it. Offensively, along the offensive line, they felt like they were, you know, one block, one missed assignment away from having some success, and we saw what they could do when they put the whole unit together. So I think it was kind of the Gophers kind of challenging themselves. And I wonder, it's obviously a nebulous concept, but how much was it the distraction of Matt Rhule being up for the Penn State job this week and saying some very glowing things about his alma mater and kind of leaving the door somewhat open that could happen? How much of that distraction kind of was on the head coach's mind? It was on his player's mind. And then one final point is, you know, Nebraska played at Maryland 6 days ago and then had to turn around and play another road game 6 days later. And I think that you can kind of see that kind of wear him down as well.
Yeah, Gophers get the win, and a big one with Iowa looming. Floyd Rosedale on the line in this annual showdown, and certainly a huge game no matter what the records are, this Minnesota-Iowa rivalry.
Yeah, no doubt. It's kind of a typical Iowa team that has a very strong defense and an offense that ekes just enough by to be able to be 4-2 and 2-1 going into their game against Penn State at 6 o'clock. You know, it'll be interesting because they're going back to Iowa City, and the last time they were there, was the very contentious invalid fair catch signal and the Gophers breaking a long losing streak in that one. So they lost last year at home in Minneapolis, but they have good memories of the last time they were at Kinnick Stadium.
Yeah, and you look at this schedule, and you know, it's hard to project, but at Iowa, then you get Michigan State. Gophers should be favored against Sparty here. Then the trip out to Oregon to play the Ducks, and then in the Chicago suburbs to take on Northwestern. They're having a nice year, and then the reeling Badgers here with Paul Bunyan's axe on the line in the finale, as is the tradition. So there certainly are opportunities there for the Gophers, but there are also some really tough games on that schedule.
Yeah, for sure. Another one win away from going to a bowl game, yeah. And it looks like Michigan State's going to be the one that will put them at bowl eligibility. I'd probably say the Iowa game is a toss-up. They'll probably won't be favored in that one, but I think they'll have every opportunity to get a win. Oregon, obviously, I think they'll be huge underdogs at Austin Stadium for that one. Northwestern, like you mentioned, has put together a pretty strong year. That game's at Wrigley Field. That one will be an interesting one. And then, obviously, Wisconsin. I think they were getting shut out by Ohio State, and that'd be two straight shutouts. And Luke Fickell is very much on the hot seat. I don't know if you saw his interview after they lost to Iowa 37-0, but you know he was apologizing. He said he was dumbfounded. That's really a program that Minnesota needs to continue to take advantage of, given how much they've struggled this year. So I think it's, you know, it's 6, 7, 8, you know, maybe 9. If you want to get greedy, if you want to be delusional, as PJ Fleck has kind of instructed his team to be. But I think beating Nebraska is kind of a turning point game to kind of show that, hey, this can be a very strong year for Minnesota.
Yeah, no doubt. Find a way to beat Rutgers, find a way to beat Purdue, and then really a dominant second half against Nebraska. And we'll see next week against Iowa. And I forgot that game. It's not going to be in the suburbs. It's not going to be in Evanston. It's going to be at Wrigley Field. That's pretty cool, Andy.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, obviously, Ryan Field was so dilapidated and mostly empty for so many years. So this will be a nice little shot in the arm for a trip to Chicago.
Yeah, absolutely, no doubt. And before we run out of time, get into the Loons. They play the LA Galaxy, and they are bottom feeders. Loons solidly in the Major League Soccer postseason. They've had a nice year.
They have. There's opportunities here tonight to maybe finish as high as second if they beat Galaxy and the teams ahead of them lose. And then, you know, they could qualify for the CONCACAF Champions Cup, which is a regional tournament between teams from North America and Central America and the Caribbean. They've never done that. So that's an opportunity for them. Like you said, they've got the first round of the MLS Cup playoffs locked in. They've got home field advantage for that. But they can kind of continue to push up and maybe do something special and qualify for the continental tournament.
Yeah, and like I say, in such a crowded sports marketplace, it really has been a solid year for the Loons, and give credit where credit is due on that front for sure. Hey, and Andy, always good to visit with you. Thanks so much for the time, but a very nice Golden Gopher win, and then the trip to Iowa City. That's going to be something next week. That's always – and I don't think they've announced a game time yet either.
Yep, no, it'll be probably 11 or 2:30, so we'll find that out probably on Monday.
All right, Andy, thank you.
All right, take care.
There he is, Andy Greeter of the Pioneer Press, online at TwinCities.com. You hear him from time to time with Henry Lake on the Lake Show here on a Saturday. And then he's been good enough to join Corzo on a Sunday as well. By the way, Corzo in tomorrow between 10 and noon. He'll lead you up to the Vikes and the Eagles. Eagles slight favorites on the road. Question is, can they get that running game going? And then Carson Wentz against his old team. There's a number of storylines. Once again, Vikes and Eagles high noon tomorrow. Big thanks to Lindsey Brown. Big thanks to Jonathan Lowe. Big thanks to you for tuning in here on CCO.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.